Chuck Swindoll's church members told him about the 50th anniversary of his grandparents, Ted and Bessie. Now, over the years, unfortunately, Ted had lost much of his hearing, but that did not prevent he and Bessie from enjoying the family as they came together, their children, their grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, and have that time of celebration. And they began at mid-morning and went all through the afternoon telling stories and enjoying and eating and just having a great time together. Around sundown, the family began to make their way home and just left with Ted and Bessie. And they decided to go sit on the front porch and watch the sunset. While they were sitting there, Bessie kind of looked at Ted and welled up with emotion a little bit, and she said, "Ted, I am real proud of you." And Ted kind of gave her a quizzical look and thought for a moment and said, "Well, Bessie, I'm real tired of you too." During this month of June, we've been continuing our theme of the year, Living by the Book, by looking at marriage by the book. And folks, it's important to understand it is marriage by the book. It's not marriage by culture's view or marriage by someone's opinion or even marriage by my opinion. You know, I have not been coming across this month as the perfect husband and father. You know, I've only been the perfect husband for about 3 or 4 years, right, Mary? So I really don't quite have a handle on that yet. So, yeah, I'm kind of getting that look. But we have been looking at very important concepts from the Scripture. Now, we began by looking at Genesis chapter 2 and looking at God's design for marriage. He designed marriage for companionship, for completion. But then we looked at Matthew chapter 19 as Jesus gives the supernatural interpretation of those last few verses of Genesis chapter 2 by talking about 5 pillars of marriage. The first pillar being difference. The second pillar being severance. A man shall leave his father and mother. The third pillar being adherence and cling or hold fast, or as the King James Version says, cleave to his wife. And then the fourth pillar being, adherence. I got to run through my mind what it is. I've forgotten. Somebody tell me. You weren't paying attention either during that sermon? It begins with ants, okay? Confluence, and they shall be one flesh, the point at which 2 streams come together to form 1 river is confluence. Thank you, Mick Jefferson. Now, the blessing of taking notes during, by the way, of the sermon. And then the last one, permanence. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So when you've got a perfect design and these pillars undergirding our marriages, what's gone wrong? What has happened to marriages in culture? What has happened to marriages even in the church? Genesis chapter 3 happened. The encroachment of sin upon the human race. Sin has infected each and every one of us, and with it brought its selfishness, it's blame shifting, and it's excuse making into all relationships, especially that of the marriage relationship. And not only the presence of sin in our relationships, but God cursed the woman and the man for their disobedience to him. And he cursed, remember, those two areas that are most important to all of us to live as people: our significance. I am worthy. I am valuable. And men tend toward that basic need, and they find it in their jobs much of the time. And then the second basic need is security. I am loved. I am valued as a person. And ladies, generally speaking, find that need met, and they find it in their home, in their relationships. Why on earth would God curse those two things that really make us what we are as people? So we would be driven to him. Men, the best job in the world will never ultimately fulfill your significant needs. Ladies, the best relationship with marriage or in a family will never fulfill ultimately your security needs. Only God can fill those needs completely. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, wow, so God's the one that fulfills significance and security, so that leaves me off the hook. It's all good. No, only God ultimately fulfills that needs. Our job as a husband or a wife is to make our spouse feel significant and to feel secure or loved. In Ephesians chapter 5, we discover that we are God's agents to help our spouse feel significant and secure. And in fact, in this chapter, there are three commitments that will help each one of us pull that off of being God's agent for that. Notice commitment number one: to meet the deepest needs of my spouse, I will follow after God's call. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Jump to the conclusion of the chapter, verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Oh, that paints a whole different picture on those verses than probably many of you have heard in church growing up. You know, you hear a pastor say, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as if you're a doormat and you do whatever he says and whatever he commands. One husband, Jack Hayford tells the story, was in a marriage conference, and part of the marriage conference, this speaker came off with that demagoguery that women are down here and men are up here, and women are to follow along behind their husbands and submit to their husbands. And one young guy newly married husband, I mean, he was eating it up. He was lapping that stuff up. This is great. And as they were driving home, he was telling his wife, wasn't that fantastic? Wasn't that the greatest stuff you've ever heard? She sat in stony silence. Well, when they got home, they walked in the door and just barely got in the house, and he took her by the shoulders and he said, stand right there. This is the way it's going to be from now on. I am the head of this house. You are to submit to whatever I say. And that husband did not see his wife for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, he could see her just a little bit out of this corner of his eye. No, ladies, look at these truths as your opportunity rather than your obligation. You have the opportunity to meet the deepest need of your husband by respecting him. A husband never feels more significant. Get this now. A husband never feels more significant than when he is respected by the most important person in his life. Dr. E.V. Hill, a dynamic black preacher and the senior pastor at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California, lost his precious wife, Janie, to cancer years back. And in the funeral service, he got up and spoke about the woman, the classy lady, as he called her, who was his wife for many years. You see, it seems that years before, they were struggling to make ends meet. He was a young preacher and was not able to provide much in the way of income for the family, but he went in business with his brother and purchased a service station over Jane's objections, because she realized Evie had no knowledge of the service station business. He didn't know really much about business at all. But he went ahead anyway and did it, and the service station went under. And he lost his shirt that he barely had on to begin with. When he called Jane about the business going under, her reply was, all right. And when he got home that evening, he and Jane sat down, and Jane said, you know, Evie, I've been doing some figuring these hours. You don't smoke, and you don't drink. So I figure you would have smoked and drank up as much money as you lost in the service station. So it's six of one hand and half a dozen the other. Shortly after the service station fiasco, Evie came home to a dark house. And he opened the door, and his wife was sitting there at the dining room table with candles lit. And he said to her in his characteristic humor, what meaneth thou this? She said, we're going to eat by candlelight tonight. Well, he thought that was a great idea. So he went into the bathroom to wash his hands, flipped the light switch on. Nothing came on. Went into his bedroom to change clothes, flipped the light switch on. Nothing came on. He went out to his wife and said, what happened? She began to cry, and she said, you're working so hard, and you're trying so hard, but I didn't have quite enough money to pay the electric bill. what we're going to eat by candlelight tonight. We'll make the best of it. At that crucial juncture of his life, because of a stupid decision he made with the service station, when she could have very rightly and correctly said, "I told you so," but didn't. And eating by candlelight when the electricity was turned off, she built in to her husband her respect and made him the man he was and the man he became. Folks, ladies, respect that husband God has given you. That is his deepest need. Husbands, look at verse 25 and the remainder of the chapter. Husbands, sacrificially love your wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You'll notice in this passage, it goes back and forth. Husband to wife, Christ and the church. Husband and wife, Christ and the church. A wife never feels more secure than when she is sacrificially loved by the most important person in her life. How you doing, guys? How you doing in that sacrificial love? You see, I knew I was going to preach on this morning. So last night, I extended sacrificial love to Mary. Mary loves Russell Stover Pecan Delights. Or you can call them something they've called turtles. I mean, that is her favorite candy. You want to do something for Mary for Christmas or her birthday, September 11th? Give her Russell Stover's Pecan Delights. And I will enjoy that gift too. But every now and then Kroger has them on sale. Buy one, get one free. And they did last week, so I got two boxes for her. Well, she's gone through both boxes. I put a little bit of help, just a little. Well, last night, she says, "Man, I am dying for a Russell Stover's candy." So I got up, went, looked at the box. There were two left. I gave her one, closed the box, and did not take the last one. Now, I'm telling you, folks, that was sacrificial love. I didn't eat it this morning. I won't eat it this afternoon. But, honey, please, eat that thing in a hurry, would you? The temptation's killing me. Nolan Ryan was a Hall of Fame baseball pitcher. But not only that, He was a Hall of Fame husband. His wife, Ruth, wrote a book entitled Covering Home. And in that book, she wrote about her husband, Nolan. She wrote, "It probably happened the first time on a high school baseball diamond in Alvin, Texas, back in the mid-1960s. Then it happened repeatedly for 3 decades. After that, inevitably, sometime during a game, Nolan would pop his head out from behind the dugout and look around the stands behind home plate, looking for me. And when he found me, he'd break out in a big smile and kind of give me the tip of his hat to let me know he saw me." She said, "I'd wave back and flash him a grin. Then he'd duck back under the dugout roof and turn back to the game." And this is how she finished up. "It was a simple moment, never noted in record books or career summaries, but of all the moments in all the games, it was the one most important to me." Nolan Ryan threw no hitters in the major leagues, but that moment for his wife was the most important moment of the game. Why? Because he was showing her his love and that she was important to him. Commitment number one, to meet the deepest needs of my spouse, I will answer God's call. He's called wives to respect their husbands, to build in and meet those significance needs. He's called husbands to love their wives sacrificially, to build into her and meet those security needs. Now, how can you pull that off? Well, let's back up in the passage just a little bit in Ephesians chapter 5 and see commitment number two. To meet the deepest needs of my spouse, I will yield to the Spirit's control. Look at Ephesians 5:18. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Notice the contrast. Do not be drunk with wine. Do be filled with the Spirit. Someone who is drunk, we have an expression, a little three-word expression. That person, we say, is what? Well, that's good. None of you know what that is. Under the influence. They are under the influence of alcohol. And that's what Paul says, do not be under the influence, but be filled with the Spirit. Be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Greek scholar Kenneth Wiest said, "Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not putting gas in the tank. It is putting a driver behind the wheel. He is in control of your life." Now, Paul goes on to give evidence, several evidences of the Spirit's control, the remainder of the passage. Look at verse 19. "One who is filled by the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." You see, all of those, I'm going to get a little technical here now, all of those are participles modifying the one command, be filled with the Spirit. A person who is filled with the Spirit speaks to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. A person filled with the Holy Spirit sings and makes melody in their heart to the Lord. A person filled with the Spirit gives thanks always and for everything to God. And a person filled with the Spirit submits to one another out of reverence for Christ. In fact, ladies, you'll like this. In verse 24, where it says, wives, submit to your own husbands, the word submit doesn't even appear in the Greek text. And the ladies are singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. The word submit comes from that participle that Paul uses in the previous verse, submitting yourselves to one another out of reverence to Christ, wives to your own husbands. And husbands, loving your wives as Christ loved the church is part of our mutual submission to them. You see, folks, what God calls us to do, respecting our husbands to meet his significance needs and loving our wives to meet her security needs, what God calls us to, he equips us to by giving us and by filling us with the Holy Spirit of God. And so our commitment is to yield to the Spirit's control. But I said there are three commitments, didn't I? Follow God's call, yield to the Spirit's control. And I know some of you are going to be disappointed, but this last point is not alliterated. And some will be very happy. To meet the deepest needs of my spouse, I will take in God's word. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. You can look at it on the screen or just flip over a couple of pages in your Bible. You got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So just two books over. And notice how Colossians 3, 16 through 19 reads. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. As you read that passage, you cannot help but notice how closely it connects with Ephesians chapter 5, being filled with the Spirit. So being scripturally filled equals being spiritually filled. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and be filled with the Spirit. And all those things that modify each of those connect quite well. You see, to be scripturally filled will enhance our obedience. To be spirit-filled and to be disobedient doesn't connect. Why? Because if you, as a Christian, are being disobedient to God, He's not working to control you. He's working to convict you of your disobedience. But letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as Paul says in Colossians 3, goes hand in hand with being filled with the Spirit. And so your commitment is to let God's word dwell in you richly. Now, we began this year, 2022, with challenges about reading the Bible. We encouraged people who have never read the New Testament through to read one chapter a day, 5 days a week, and then in a year's time, in this year's time, they will have read the entire New Testament through. That would be a huge spiritual victory for some folks. Other folks, we gave Bible reading schedules to read the entire scripture through this year. Some of you are doing that. Some of you are doing the New Testament. Some of you have come in since January and like, what are you talking about? Reading the New Testament through, reading the Bible through. Here you go. Here's your assignment. There are 31 days in July. And there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Read a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs. And even get yourself a little notebook and jot down the insights that Proverbs gives about being a parent or being a child or being a husband or being a wife. And follow through with this commitment to being scripturally filled so that you can meet the deepest needs of your husband and your wife. There are three abiding truths to these passages that we need to remind ourselves and kind of review once again. Number one, accept God's call to meet the deepest need of your husband or your wife. Are you sitting there thinking, man, I really struggle with it. I don't think I can pull that off. Well, why are you struggling with it? Are you still in your sin? You see, sin basically means selfishness. Are you living a self-centered life so you cannot look at the one that God has given you, husband or wife, to meet their deepest needs? You need to come to Jesus for salvation. You need to take care of that sin problem first, so that you'll have the spiritual resources, the Holy Spirit living within you, who then can control you. And that may be the second issue, right, Christian? Maybe you're not living in the Spirit's control. Secondly, receive God's Spirit in salvation and live in His power. And thirdly, take in God's word. If you haven't been doing that, start this Friday, July 1st, and read Proverbs chapter 1, jotting down notes of what that says about your marriage and your family, your parenting situation. And let God use you to meet the deepest needs with which He has created us as people, our significance and security. Let's pray. Thank you, Father in heaven, that you have called us to be your instruments, your agents, your tools to meet the deepest needs of our husband or our wife. And Lord, we fall so far short in that, so often time. That just shows that we are selfish. We're more concerned about us and what we get rather than about the other and what we give. Lord, forgive us for that. Help us to walk in the fullness of your Spirit. Lord, help us to read your word so your word reminds us of areas of need, areas we can demonstrate that love and that respect for our spouse too. God, if there's someone here who's never trusted Christ, help them realize, Lord, their marriage is not going to work the way you designed it until they give their lives and their heart over to you, Jesus. And I pray in your precious name they would do that even right now. Bless our homes, I pray, dear Father. Bless the husbands as they sacrificially love their wives. Bless the wives as they respect their husbands. Bless the children as they obey their parents. And God, may our homes become that beautiful flower that you've intended them to be, that grow up and out of the midst of the weeds of this world. For your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen.